shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Speak to our hearts. Shape our hearts, mold our hearts into the heart of Christ, that we may have his mind, his perspective, his viewpoint, and be empowered to obey you because we love you. May that be our motivation for all that we do, a heart of love and full of grace, empowered by your Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. To love God with all our strength brings together the spiritual elements of our non-physical anatomy, which is our heart, soul, mind. It's the real you. These elements should not necessarily be distinguished, but defined. They should not be thought of as four distinct and separate pieces of our natures. Just as God's attributes are undivided, so these elements of our being cannot be divided. Our heart is our soul. Our soul is our mind, and our mind is our strength. They are interchangeable. To love God with all your strength, then, is to love God with your being, the whole you, which involves the whole man and the whole woman, both body and soul. Now, this explains why the word all is repeated four times by Jesus in this text. And moreover, all four commandments are prefaced by this Greek preposition ex. Ex means from or out of, thus highlighting that we love God from or out of the heart, the soul, and the mind. In other words, we love God from the whole person. Now, this means that the call to love God with all our strength is to love with everything we have available within us to honor him, which includes all our energy, our abilities, our talents, and our spiritual gifts. Loving God by devoting every possibility, every opportunity, and capacity that we have to honor him and loving him as we love us. How do you love God with all your strength? Now, we're moving, if you notice the text, from the internal to the external. We're moving from heart, soul, and mind to strength. Strength, which are our physical expressions of our love for God. The Greek term strength is ischus. Ischus means ability, might, force, and power. Have you ever seen a singer sing with all their might? You ever seen a runner run with all their might? I know you've seen basketball players play with all their might. Football players play with all their might. It is primarily a reference to the strength of the inner being in motion. It was King Josiah, the youngest king in Israel history, when the temple was in rubbles. He found the word of God in the rubbles of God's house. In 2 Kings 23:25, he said, before him, it was said of him, before him, Josiah, there was no king like him who turn to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, according to all the law of Moses, and no one like him arose after him. God has given each of you abilities, talents, and spiritual gifts. And in our use of them, we can either commit our strength to glorify ourselves or to use our strength to glorify our God. How do we do that? Point A here. To love God with all your strength is to love God with all your energy. With all your energy. To love God with all your energy is serving the Lord by serving others for his glory. But you know it took energy to get up this morning. It took energy to prepare ourselves to come out to the house of the Lord. And we were motivated despite the distractions and the frustrations to be here. Why? Because we were demonstrating a love for God with all our strength. And when our strength is weak, then in our weakness, we become strong. It's a way of expressing your love to him through your body in motion. It means holding nothing back when it comes to showing your love for God. Like you show your love for your favorite sports person, your favorite singer, your favorite vacation spot, your favorite activity. You run for it with all your might. It was Jesus in Mark 10. 42 through 45, Jesus called them over and said to them, when they was arguing about who would be the greatest in heaven, he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, disciples. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great, he didn't say you can't be great. He said, there's another way of being great. He said, if you want to be great among you, we'll be your servant. And whoever wants to be first, well, it's okay to be first among you, here it is, will be your slave. It will be the person who will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It was Dr. King who said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. So rich. The word ministry is service in the Bible. And every believer is a servant of Christ and are divinely called to serve him. You need to understand this truth, because for many of us, we think the only person who serves in the church is the musician and the pastor and the secretary and the treasurer. Those are the only people that serve. But beloved, you need to understand, number one, that every believer is created for service. Every believer is created for service. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his poema. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. You are God's workmanship. The Greek word is poema, his poem. So we get this English word poem from. It referred to a work of art, a masterpiece. That's what we are as followers of Jesus Christ. We are a masterpiece. I would say that I would dare say we look better than Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa don't look too much like a woman to me. When I look at her, must be an uncle or something. It referred to a work of art. And that's what we are. So God created you and experience or inexperience. Number two, every believer is saved for service. Isn't that amazing? You thought you were just saved for heaven. But that's true. If that's true, then it's not. He would have took you to heaven when you were saved. You wouldn't wait this long. You were saved for more. Heaven is just the final analysis of it all. It's the final dwelling place of the redeemed. But we were saved for service. In 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul says, he has saved us and called us with a holy call. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You have something in you that was given to you that existed before you existed. Because you're in Christ. You're saved. You have a service to fulfill. You have a God to glorify. And the way you live your life, the way you express yourself through your body, can be a witness and testimony to those who don't know Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before people that they what? See your good works and give God the glory. You are not only created to serve, you are saved to serve. Every believer is gifted for service. Your gift may not be my gift, or my gift is not your gift, but we're all gifted. All God's children have a gift. We have to discover it. The best way to discover your gift is to start serving in the local church. Start finding out what uniquely God has shaped you to be and to do, and begin to do that to advance the gospel and advance the work of God here at NLCC. What can you do to reach the lost, to disciple those who come to faith? What can you do to increase our capacity? You are gifted for service. 1 Peter 4:10. is in the context of body life, of gathering, where we practice to get prepared to fight the battle. Just like a football team, they can't fight the battle with just a quarterback. You need a nose guard. You need tight ends. You need linebackers. You need a team. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God in a new life, we need a team. We need a team. We need more than just five. On that team, how many play basketball? Five. How many play for football? Well, that's more. We need to be a football team. We need all hands on deck because we're needed for service. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. So you're important. You're significant. No matter what your role is, you are significant. You're just as significant than the pastor, the bishop, the priest, the teacher, and the apostle. There are no place in Scripture that lends itself to the ideal that it's okay just to be a Christian, just to show up when I want to. There's no place that says sit on the sideline while others play the game. Nothing in Scripture says that. Loving God with all your strength is not reserved for those who would be considered professionals. You know, pastors and missionaries and theologians. It's for every believer and follower of Jesus to serve with all their energy. Don't worry about the loss of energy or the lack of energy. Paul says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who energizes you from within. It is God who is in a gale, who works within you, who energizes you from the inside out to fulfill the task and the responsibility that God has called you to do. And he will give you the will and the work to do his good pleasure. If you're weak, Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives strength to the weary. You can get weary in this Christian experience. You can get tired. Why? Because you've been dispensing so much energy. Right? Loving God with all your might. Have you ever sung a song with all your might? Yes, you have. You're in the mirror and you're in the shower. And you were singing with all your might. And you thought, man, I can really sing that song with all your hair. It just sounds good to you. It just sounds good to you. The echoes come back to you. Sing with all your might from a crowd and see what happens. You may not get the fall, you may get a boo. Right? Oh, we live our lives just expending our energies and our might on things that have no eternal gain. Listen. You love God by serving him with all your energy. To love God with all your strength is to love with all your abilities. Someone said the difference between ability and talent is that ability is something you're born with. Ability is something you learn, a skill you achieve, and a talent is something you're born with. I see them interchangeable. The difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. You are born with the natural abilities. They're a part of the physical makeup of the genetic code of who you are. And when you become a Christian, you are born again. And you are given spiritual gifts and abilities. And they're a part of your spiritual makeup in that regenerated life called the Christian life. See, honestly, sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. Because there are some abilities that are clearly one or the other. But there are some that overlap. For example, you may be a great teacher because of a spiritual gift his plan for racing. He said, when I get ready to race, he said, the first half, I run as fast as I can. Second half, I run with God's help, and I run faster. See, he's serving God with all his might, with all his strength. He put his heart in it. He's doing it for the glory of God. He's just not saying it. He's actually doing it because he refused to run on Sundays. He said, that's God's holy servant. I can't run on Sunday. And he was left out of that race, but he came back. And he ran the 400-meter one goal. Because he honored God. And he wanted to serve God with all his might. And then he went back to China. And during that time, he was Japanese, took over China that time. And they put him in an internment camp, and he died because of his faith in Christ. Because he says this, I believe God made me for purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. He was letting down on all his might. And his body was in motion. And all of his abilities and talents and skills, he saw them as a means of glorifying his God. In the final analysis, all that God has given you naturally, or physically, are to be used for God's work. Why? Because, next point, every ability is given by God. I don't care if it's natural or supernatural. Every ability, intellectually, right? Physically, academically. Man, if you can look at algebra and it's easy for you, that's a God-given ability. This is confusing. If you can understand chemistry and anatomy and physiology with no problem, you have to study hard. Give me a blessing. With an ability that others don't have. So your natural abilities are not a result of random genetic coding. They are part of your design. God gave you those innate, inborn abilities and talents. Love you with all your might. Listen to this example from the Old Testament. In Exodus 31, 1 through 6, God is getting ready to prepare Israel to build the tabernacle where his presence will dwell. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. What comes with the Spirit of God for men? Skill. Something he didn't learn. Ability. Something he didn't produce. And knowledge in all kinds of craftsmanship. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. Because some people say, ability is a skill you learn. You go to school, you learn a skill. But right here, God gave a man the skill without learning. Gave him the ability, gave him the knowledge and the wisdom to take material, embroidery, or whatever you want to call it, and make the temple the way God designed it. To make the artistic designs for work, he had to use gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of architecture, craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, to help him. And I have given skill. I gave him skill to do what? To all the craftsmen. To make everything I have commanded you. God sources out. He took his people. Because I'm sure there were people with those abilities around them. The Gentiles, the Philistines, the Perizzites, the otherites. Exodus 36, 1 through 2 said he, so Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has God didn't waste any abilities on you. Every ability has a purpose, and it can be used for the glory of God. When we narrow our view of God's work to what's done at the local church service, only a few of them can stand in place. But most of God's work doesn't happen here. Inside the church walls, we come here to get taught, to be refocused and recharged. We come here to get food for the soul so that we can do the work in the world that God has called us to do. You are God's ambassador in the world, and He has strategically placed you and equipped you to do His work 7 days a week. Where you live, where you work, where you play. So every ability has a purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, and whatever you do, whether in word, oh, no, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, you see this? This is the body in motion here. This is the strength expressing itself in love to God. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for man. As Christians, our greatest ability is our availability to love God completely. Last quote. To love God with all your strength, beloved, is to love Him with the proper use of your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13. We call it the love chapter. Verses 1 through 3, we tend to skip over and go right to what love is not, what love is. But 1 through 3 is powerful because it sets it up. It says, if I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. So if I had all the gifts, spiritually, and no love, I'm just making noise. Secondly, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all Psalm 94.1, Rhythm and Praise Station. It's in my heart to serve the Lord. Oh, I love it. But it will be yours. It's in my heart to serve the Lord. Because if it's not in your heart, people are going to stop you from serving the Lord. Circumstances will stop you.
Yes, sir.
Incidents and accidents will stop you. Frustration will stop you from serving the Lord with all your might, all your strength. But if it's coming out of the heart for the glory of God, doesn't matter what circumstances arise, predicaments and problems and perils, you're going to serve the Lord anyway. It's got to be in your heart. Serve God and love God on God's terms. Well, what are spiritual gifts? They are God-given, God-empowered abilities for serving God in others. They are God-given, God-empowered abilities for serving God with others. They are called gifts because they are God-given. It's a charismata. It's a gift of grace. You didn't earn it, work for them, or deserve them. They were deposited within you at your new birth. Just like your natural abilities were deposited you at your first birth. But when you're born again, the Spirit of God deposits the giftings within you. They were simply given to you as a gift of grace. That's why you should never brag about your spiritual abilities. Because anything that you have as a gift, it was given to you. It was something you received, not something you achieved. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given to you, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to a measure of faith God has assigned, that God has appointed." Now, this measure of faith, beloved, is not about your spiritual birth, but your spiritual growth. That measure of faith in Romans 12:3 is not about your justification, but about your sanctification. That phrase, the measure of faith in Romans 12:3, is not about your relationship with God. It's about your maturity in God. It's not about your good. It's about the common good. They are called spiritual because they are God-empowered and God-enabled. You are equipped to do God's work because God has equipped you with the gifting, with the ability. And he said, with that gift, love me with all your might. Serve me with all your might. They are from God and for God and empowered by God. That's why they're spiritual, natural. We can't hand these out in church based upon your likability, your lovability. We can't hand out spiritual gifts to anyone. We can't call you to anything. But as a body, you can affirm what God has already called and assigned and appointed. You can choose, as the body of Christ, that God is at work in that person uniquely, specifically, for a particular task. Who has spiritual gifts? Every Christian, every believer, from the youngest to the oldest. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, God gives you one or more spiritual gifts that equips you to serve him with all your life. To serve him faithfully. To serve him consistently. you love those who are your enemies, those who are alienated from your promises, those who are rebellious, those who are under the sway of the evil one. You love them because we were in town once upon a time, and you called us home by goodness and purpose. You called us out of alienation and separation from you. And you brought us into the marvelous light of your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us. Show us, teach us, empower us to love that way. You declare by this that all people will know that we are your disciples because we love one another as you loved us. People are not going to know that we're your followers because of our abilities or our gifts or our claim or our fame. They're going to know it because they're going to see the living manifestation of the cross in the life of your followers. Lord Jesus, this is only possible because you taught us to love the Lord our God, the one who is one. With all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength. Lord, we pray that you would do this in us and through us. Do this to us for our good, for your glory, for our development, for your exaltation. Do this in the name of Jesus, who identified himself as